much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
So, coasting time is officially over. Big changes are coming, and they're coming fast. If you don't like them, this is called a door. You can walk right through it. All right? I'm not here to be your friend. I like my life outside of this place. I live to leave at 5.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It burns his down. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
The opportunity has arisen to present this to you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Someone call someone!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Golden pussy finger.
Roll another one.
Instant karma, mother!
Just like
wow, that's traveling music.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Someone call someone.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Tina, come get some ham.
Just like the other one.
Do your job, Kevin. Do your freaking job.
This one seems to be about spend.
He has done a lot of stuff.
I don't have another cent.
You're living in a nightmare that starts at the crack of dawn.
Dude, bro, dude.
Just pass it around.
I'm a Nazi. Join my team.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'm sorry for the
realness. Just pass it on down.
And now.
Just tell me, why isn't it lame? Why isn't it lame?
Because we'll do it in a way that won't be lame.
I can't argue with that.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people?
Yo.
Friday the 9th of March, 2018. Hey, Mike, you don't play the HQ trivia, do you?
I don't.
I tried to get Allie on it, and you were too frustrated by the inconsistent start times, right, Allie?
Yeah. Plus Jeopardy. I mean, I feel like I'm cheating on it.
Loyal to Alex.
Yeah.
I think you can love both.
I don't think I can, and I don't.
All right. Fair enough. I'm so sad I didn't. Dave got me into it, and I think, Chip, I think you were playing before I was, too.
Yeah.
And you guys got me into it, and I love it so much. But I will tell you that I am at the point now where I realize I'm never going to win, and that is starting to dampen my enthusiasm for the game.
Oh, no.
Because the first couple of months I thought, you know what? I feel like I could win this thing. And I got it to question 10 number of times. Never passed that. Mm-hmm. This is the online trivia game you play in an app. It's free. It's called HQ Trivia, and you answer 12 questions, and however many players are left at the end, they all split the $2,500 jackpot. Sometimes it's more. So I don't go out of my way to play now. Like, if it's convenient and I've got time, I'll play. Mm-hmm. But like last night, it's 8 p.m. for me, 6 p.m. for you, the evening game. I'm on my couch, and I'm watching baskets, and the phone is on the kitchen counter, and it's like 8 feet away.
Yeah.
And I thought,
you're out.
Do I really want to walk all the way over there and pick up that phone and then come back and play during the show? So I didn't. I didn't play. And one of the questions last night was, according to the U.S. government, is it daylight saving time?
Oh.
Daylight savings time, plural, or daylight savings time, possessive?
I'm so happy you brought that up.
How come, Michael?
Well, because I know how much of a big deal that is for you, and I recognize that this Sunday is, in fact, you fill in the blank, daylight saving something. And I mean, no one, there's really no one else that it's more important to than Bean Baxter.
I'm flying the flag.
Yeah.
I'm doing my part. So there were 750,000 people or something like that in the game at that point, playing the game at the same time, and over 600,000 of them got it wrong.
No! Oh.
Over 600,000 of them. As they say in the parlance of HQ Trivia, it was savage. And I heard from dozens of our listeners who said they got that one right thanks to listening to this program.
It's the only reason they moved on from question 5 to question 6.
I still think, Bean, you're going to be the first one of us to actually win.
Why? What are you basing that on? You're much better at that game than I am.
Because you've got the smart thing.
Chip has been to question 11, Mike.
No, I made it to 12.
12. She's
been to
12.
Impressive.
Yeah.
But I got
super
a stupid
impressive.
BS Shakespeare question.
Well, Shakespeare's.
Who cares
BS.
About that?
Shakespeare's
Limey.
Losers.
Yeah.
Why haven't you played, Mike? You're a super smart
I
guy
have.
Who knows a lot about a lot of things.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I have. I just find it very frustrating. I liken it to fighting a black belt. For a while, he's going to be really nice to you, and you get you know in the middle of round two, and you're like, "Oh, this is nice."
Yeah.
Eventually, he's going to choke you, and there's too far of a lead up of these questions are too easy to inevitably get to the point where I'm like, "I'm not winning this."
Yeah.
Whether it be the timing of it, whether it be the countdown, or they're going to ask some question that I don't understand. And so it's like this futile effort that I think to myself, I'd rather just, as Allie put it, watch my good friends on Jeopardy.
Right? Alex never lets me down. I know I'll never be as smart as those people. There's no hope for me. They don't build me up to beat me down like HQ Trivia does.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, isn't the excitement, though, that you're – it's fun to watch Jeopardy. We all enjoy Jeopardy. We all recognize what a great show it is. But – you're watching other people play. Isn't there some thrill in you being the person who is the contestant? You get to be the person who potentially wins the game?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is that thrill, but I watch the Dodgers. Doesn't mean I have to play baseball.
That's a good point.
You know?
We got a – I'm scrolling. I'm looking for it right now. One of our listeners, one of our Kevin and Bean listeners, won HQ Trivia the other night. And I think, what, about 11 bucks, I want to say?
Nice.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Worth it.
It's so funny because we had that video in the Internet Roundup a few weeks ago of maybe a little bit longer of this lady who was filmed as she was playing the end of the game, and she won the $11 also, and she just wept openly. She just cried and cried and cried, and I thought, that's a ridiculous overreaction to winning $11. I swear to God, I would have a heart attack at this point if I won, because now I know what it's like to be invested and to want to win so badly. And I was doing nothing but mocking her for overreacting. So congratulations to our one listener who apparently won his portion of the jackpot.
I will say this, though. I mean, if thousands, and I mean, it looks like hundreds of thousands of people are going to play a game
daily. Oh, sometimes it's 2 million people at one time, Mike.
Awesome. I mean, I would much rather people sit around and get their brains moving and lube that part of their body up as opposed to trying to find Pikachu.
Yeah.
Or
although with
whatever,
that, they are at least being active. But like a Farmville or one of those that they're – it's just mindless.
I just feel like, you know, HQ Trivia, at least if it's going to take the country by storm, it seems like it's a good thing.
At least you learned something.
Yeah,
I agree.
And it's an impossible game to prep for also, by the way. You either know it or you don't because the topics are so all over the place. Hey, I just found that it was Josh Kant is our listener who won, and he won $11.16.
Right?
Oh!
Oh, wow.
No,
good night, everybody.
That.
I don't know. Really?
Let's talk about today's Alder Kevin Beach here, shall we?
Couldn't be less interested.
Well, I think you're going to disagree when I scroll down far enough to see the schedule that Dave refuses to send me. Oh, here we go. We have a pretty good show today, actually, including another pair of tickets for the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, which, as you know, is coming up at the 31st of the month at the Microsoft Theater. We'll give you a chance to win them in about an hour from right now, and I'll give you a heads up. We're going to be looking for jokes from little kids. Now, is 6:30 a good time? Are little kids up that early?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They are.
Unfortunately.
Mike knows.
Real quick.
So we're going to be looking for jokes from your sons and daughters right around 6:30 or so. And what do we decide? Under 10, right? I think is essentially what we're saying?
Single digits. You got to be single digit.
Single digits. Okay. That's coming up. We'll also talk to the president of Staples Center today. Imagine running that place and what it's like, as they're going to find out tomorrow with their 200th doubleheader. They got a hockey game and a basketball game going on at the same time. What's involved in making that work in a day? I'm fascinated with that. So that
I can't even do a dinner party.
Yes,
you know,
it's a lot of planning. It's a lot.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
What about crazy people who are grown ass adults who talk to their parents every single day?
I think you mean what about people with a loving relationship with the people that gave them life, the reason they're here on Earth? People that talk to them, you mean?
It sounds like you agree they should be put down. We're going to discuss that on the program today. It's Friday. That means we'll keep it 100, give you a chance to choose the music right at 9 a.m. And this will be fun, you guys. Two huge bands. We've got M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold and Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage. They are touring the world together, and they will both be in our studio at 8 a.m. Mike, you're the metalhead on the show. Avenged Sevenfold, legit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Technically, they're as good as any band touring. I was going to ask, though, because Tom Morello's coming in, is he the only guest to ever call you guys from jail?
Yes.
No, didn't Steve-O?
Strong.
Oh, did Steve-O call us from jail, too? Okay.
It's a good collection.
Short list, though.
Great list, though.
I do like it when we're your phone call. I do enjoy that, actually. So, anyway, that's a pretty good show, I think, you guys.
Yeah.
And we'll get right to it with our first look at what's happening with Ally McKay right after this on K-Rock. A quick reminder, tomorrow night at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, it's the Lightning Going Away Party. Lightning, who used to be the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show and worked for K-Rock for 27 years. If you listen to the B-Team podcast, you know and love him. If you've ever heard an AIS commercial on the air, you know and love him. He's leaving the station, and we're throwing him a little bit of a going away party. Again, it's at the Slide Bar tomorrow night, 21 and up, starting at 8 p.m. DJ Jeremiah Red is going to be there, and a bunch of people from K-Rock are going to be there, including Omar and Dave from the B-Team podcast. We're going to miss that boy, Lightning.
Yeah.
Holes here at K-Rock.
Totally.
Good dude. So anyway, everyone is invited. If you're a K-Rock fan, you want to go on down, it'll be fun. All right. Friday morning, 5:54. Allie, what's happening?
Well, can we talk a little bit about daylight savings time?
Saving!
Are you sure?
Why would you do this to me?
Because they're saying that it's such common usage now, it's found in dictionaries as savings or saving. So, look, I mean, if it made its way into the dictionary...
Look. Here's what I'm going to say. I understand the argument that things get said incorrectly and make it into the dictionary. I get that.
Okay.
But this is something that has an actual title from the U.S. government, from Congress. This is a proper name. This isn't just an expression. This is something... This would be like... We all call it... Sear instead of Sears, so now Sear should be in the dictionary. No, because it's a proper name. It's actually the name of a company. Same thing here. Uniform Time Code Act of 1966. It's daylight saving time. It's not negotiable.
Why do you let the man dictate your life?
Ooh, good point.
Right?
Come on, Bean, get a little punk rock.
Yeah. Like, if the man told me it was Sears, I'd be like, whatever, I'm calling it Sear. Right? Okay. Put your foot down, Bean.
I don't want to say I'm guy with bad examples guy.
But Sears, really?
But Sears, seriously. Who's thought about to store Sears in 100 years? I'm saying it's daylight saving time, and you should be saying it's daylight saving time as well. Don't muddy the waters here. I'm making some progress here. I'm winning the battle.
You're not.
Don't you start backsliding.
I'm wondering, though, do you, in your heart of hearts, don't you think it flows better saying savings?
I don't. Because you're saving daylight.
But why?
That's why.
But like my savings account isn't. You know, it's a savings account. Right. It's something, it's a collection of savings.
Because you're saving money.
Which is a collection of things, and your daylight is just one single thing?
Again, I'm telling you, it's not up for discussion.
No, I'm genuinely asking.
There's a right and there's a wrong answer.
Okay. I think Mike brings up a point, though. You're saving, but what you're saving is a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that the difference? Because the sun is for everyone.
No, the difference.
And it's a lot of days.
A lot of days.
Of daylight.
It adds up. You accumulate all that suns.
The difference is that one is right and one is wrong.
Okay.
That's the difference.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Exactly.
What do you think about the people
in
Hawaii or the people in the majority of Arizona? Mm-hmm. Like, are they just doing it wrong because they're not saving or savings?
No, I think that's the direction we're going. And you saw Florida is voting this week on whether to never come back from this weekend's time change. They want it year-round, and I think a lot of people do. And there are many valid arguments that the entire idea of changing the clocks has far outlived its usefulness. Like, it's no longer relevant to us anymore. I would be very happy if we just stopped doing it.
Is it true, Bean, that in his time on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mr. Jimmy Kimmel had like an impossibility of dealing with...
It took him 3 weeks to recover from the time change. So twice a year, he was a mess. And I have no idea why that 1 hour on a weekend made so much difference for him. But it apparently did.
Well, they do say it takes 1 hour or 1 day to adjust to each hour that you lose, like when you travel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just for Jimmy. He traveled through time savings?
Savings.
Okay.
Right. Apparently so, right.
Well, I mean, first of all, heart attacks, traffic collisions, workplace accidents all increase in the days after a daylight savings switch. So
that's what they say, yeah.
I mean, we do have to do this just for the good of America, right?
I'm fine with eliminating it. I really am. I think it's a great idea. Let's
do it. Why don't you want to eliminate it, though, is my question.
I do, though. I'm telling you, I'm on board.
You know what I find funny? You know how I used to read off what the day was? Like, today's National Meatball Day,
yeah.
Which today is National Meatball Day.
Ugh.
But it's also National Get Over It Day, which is so funny that it's the lead up to Daylight Savings Switch. Because he could get over it, right?
Seriously. I should just give it and let the communists win. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
I mean, if we can get the evangelicals on board, I think that's the thing. Because apparently, when you move the clocks forward, that's the worst Sunday for church attendance in the U.S. Attendance is down 10 to 15% on average that day. I mean, let's rise up, people.
I'm with you.
Do you think that's because, I don't know, I mean, I've definitely screwed up stuff because of daylight saving time. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because people forget to move their clocks forward or because they can't wake up in time? Like they're lagging?
I think it's a bit of both.
I think they space.
And also getting kids up an hour earlier on a set weekend, that can't be easy.
Yeah.
Do kids still go to church?
I feel like they do.
Not in L.A.
Oh, well, shucks.
S-A-V-I-N-G.
Oh.
Thank you, Stephen Hawking.
S-U-S-U.
S-U. Oh, I thought you were on my side.
Wow. Why does Stephen Hawking hate you? Or speak and spell. Remember that?
I do.
Back in the day. Good time.
Now they have it, but it's perfect, like clear.
It sounds
totally
good.
Intelligible.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Did I just turn into that person that's like, when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Ew. Some birthdays for you. Brittany Stowe.
She's good.
She's good. As is Brittany Snow.
Mm.
And Oscar Isaac. So handsome. That's what's happening.
Their two bands are touring together, and they'll be in studio with us at 8 a.m. today on K-Rock. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the end of the month, March 31st, April Foolishness at Microsoft Theater. We're going to give away another pair of tickets right now to this sold-out show. What did we decide, guys? What are we looking for this time around?
I think we need little kids to
little kid jokes,
tell the jokes.
Kids tell great jokes, don't they?
They really do, because most of them make no sense. They're amazing.
If you have a child, or if you're listening and you are under 10 years old, you have to be 1 through 9, call.
All right.
Tell us jokes.
Yeah, if you're 1, call.
Yeah.
If you're just born. Single digits only is what we're looking for, right? All right, so you tell us a joke, and then your parents, I assume, not you, your parents will go to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. You can call right now, looking for single-digit ages kids, 1-800-520-1067. Does Magnolia tell jokes, Mike?
My daughter tells the best jokes.
Yeah. What's her favorite?
She told. I swear to God, this is the joke she told me about 2 months ago. Hey, Papa, you want to hear a knock-knock joke? I go, yeah. Knock-knock. Who's there? Santa Claus. And she goes, whoa, wait. Why didn't Santa Claus cross the road? And I was like, okay, why? And she goes, because he's dead and not real.
Whoa!
What'd you say?
Which isn't true,
God.
By the way, kids. Magnolia got her facts wrong. That's not true.
Yeah, she combined two jokes.
But that's what you get for sending your kid to hippie Venice schools, you know?
Right?
Oh, no.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk to your little boy or girl with a joke to win you tickets for Kevin and Me and April Foolishman. Speaking of parents, speaking of children, How did it come up yesterday, Allie, that we found out how the disturbing trend of you calling your parents every day? How do we even get on the topic?
Gosh. Why is that disturbing?
It's disturbing to me. I don't remember.
I know.
Oh, yeah?
We were talking about kicking your parents' ass on
that
the air
right.
because of Tommy Lee, the
yes.
Tommy Lee situation.
Yeah.
And I said, I could definitely kick my parents' ass.
Yeah.
And off the air, we were just discussing parents.
Uh-huh.
So my mom texts me.
Uh-huh.
She's listening. Hey, watch your lip. You know, you don't underestimate me.
I love it.
And Allie's like, oh, that's so sweet. She's listening. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And being out of, I think on that conversation, said, how often do you talk to your parents?
Mm-hmm.
And we started discussing it. And yeah. Allie said, just kind of offhandedly,
yeah, once
I talk
a day,
to my parents every
sometimes
day.
Sometimes more. Yeah. But definitely once a day.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love them and want to know that they're okay. I want to know what they're doing. They live now on the other side of the country, but mm-hmm. let's be honest, when they lived in the 805, I talked to them every day as well. It's something we've always done. My parents they've been together since they were 15, mm-hmm. and oh. I don't know if that changes things for people listening that think it's insane that I talk to them every day. It's just, we're close. We're very close.
Look, your parents are older, right?
Well, no, they're in their 70 and 69. Nice.
Okay. How much is changing in their life day to day? Like from Tuesday to Wednesday, what can possibly be new in your parents' life that would be interesting
Good
to you?
Good question.
21 inches of snow. That's
okay,
new.
Maybe during extraordinary weather events, I can understand, hey, I want to make sure you guys still have power. I can get that. But
help
on the average day.
Bean, don't you ever just want to talk to your wife? Don't you talk to your wife every day? Don't you just want to hear her voice, especially when she's abroad, like overseas, like right now? Don't you talk to her? Don't you want to talk to her every day?
Well, yeah, but
it's the same kind of thing.
But yeah. I live with my wife, and we have many ongoing concerns that we are partners in, that we are making
concerns
on. Yes,
these are our parents, dude.
I don't think it's the same thing. I think it's actually. Totally different than talking to your partner.
Really?
Because your partner, as an adult, you've agreed to share your life with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents, you've agreed that you're going to go on to create your own life, distancing yourself. Not distancing.
But I don't want any distance.
Breaking away from their need to nurture and care for you. Now,
oh,
I'm not
needing them to nurture me in
sure.
these calls. I want to find
out
what's
bond,
up.
There's that bond, there's that love,
yeah.
there's that connection. You just want to see what up.
Yeah, because yeah. Dave thought it was crazy. Mike thought it was too much. Bean thinks I'm absolutely insane.
I aspire to do that
yeah,
with
Omar
my children.
Omar wants that
yeah,
with
because
his girls.
I hate my mom.
Right.
And I don't have that, and I'm probably absolutely never will, right?
Okay, let me ask you guys this question then. I talk to my dad about every 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make me a bad son?
No, you have a very different relationship with right. your father than I have with my parents. It's just, it is what it is. God, I hate that saying. But it's true. I mean, I've always been close with my mom and dad. If I didn't talk to them for a few days, they would assume I was dead.
Don't you
really?
Think also
yes.
it's like everything in the human experience, it's very individual. It sounds mm-hmm. like your parents are very loving people. They've
yeah.
been together for almost
and
their
Allie
entire
is
life.
Very needy and lonely.
No, but I do think that the type of relationship you would develop with your parents, this is regardless of how much you actually love your parents or not.
Mm-hmm.
The type of relationship you would develop with people who are outwardly very loving is probably different than, mm-hmm. say, like I love my parents and we have a great relationship. They're just not that type of – they're not – together since 15 and lovey-dovey and mm-hmm. hold hands and type of thing.
Well, of course, everything is going to be different, but I why does Bean think it's so weird is what
yeah, he thinks
perplexes me. He thinks it's nuts.
It is nuts.
It's
I
not
think
nuts,
it is nuts
at all.
I think that somebody on one side of the phone is damaged. I just can't figure out who.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's a CBS News poll. Now, this was conducted a couple of years ago, but I'm sure these numbers are fairly accurate today. How often should an adult child call their mom? At least once a day, 24%. A few times a week, 24%. At least once a week, 35%. Once a month or less, 12%. I don't know if any of that helps us. I don't know if any of that sheds any light on the situation. But at least a quarter of the people say they should call at least once a day. So there's a lot of people out there like you, Allie, who are talking to their folks all the time, it sounds like.
Well, that's lovely that they're well-adjusted and have a great relationship with their parents and, in turn, can have great relationships with other people.
Yeah, for me, it makes me kind of pretty sad because I hear stories of especially daughters and fathers mm-hmm. that they get distant during their teen years.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so close to my daughters.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. A day just hanging out with them is the best. And it makes me really sad that, you know, fathers are a little older than me. They're all, well, that's all going to come to an end.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do everything in my power to make what the relationship mm-hmm. it sounds like you have with your parents
and
the one that I have.
There's no saying you can't come back from distance.
Yeah, right.
And that tends to happen with everyone. I mean, I talked about it yesterday. When I was 15, I was probably the most rotten human being you could ever meet in your life. And I think a lot of preteen to teen girls go through a year where they are from hell.
Yeah. Yeah,
15
terrible
was
to their
my
parents.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it changed. It changed when I went to college. I was like, oh my God, why was I so horrible back then?
Don't you think this does change with gender? I mean, I'm with Omar in that I would love to have it be, you know, fast forward 20 years, my mm-hmm. daughter calling me every day.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little different for boys. And maybe we subconsciously, and maybe it's not right, but we kind of drive home the idea of individuality into boys more so than...
And that they can handle things differently, man up type of thing.
Right. No, but like it's all like what we were talking about with Kevin Love and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right by any stretch of the imagination. We just, there's
it's
this
ingrained.
Idea that
it's
like, let's not
way.
Talk
yeah.
about our feelings. Let's not even
yeah.
really talk.
Totally.
Let's
yeah.
just go ahead and do
but
that.
I think like the new fathers in the new era, mm-hmm. the new parenting, I think that's going to go to the wayside. And, you know, boys are going to be calling their parents every
There's
day.
There's no
hopefully.
Such thing as a mama's boy anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I guess I'm in the minority. If most of you guys seem to think it's A-okay.
Yeah. By the way, Bean, do Chief a favor. Don't call him at all because I'm sure he doesn't want to hear from you.
Thanks to you, to Kevin and Bean. April Foolishness 10th Anniversary Edition at Microsoft Theater March 31st is completely sold out. We appreciate it so much, but we do have a pair of tickets to give away right now to see Fluffy and Adam Devine and Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garlin, and Sarah Tiana, along with DJ Mike Realm. Got those tickets right now with a game that we like to call Kid Jokes.
Tickets to April Foolishness. Come and join the fun. Get your kid on the phone and make sure they're not dumb. Come on, kid, get on the line. It's your time to shine. Come on, kid, do your kid joke. It's about that time. Kid jokes, make sure you don't choke. Be funny, that's what you do. Or mommy will punish you.
Yeah.
Punishing going on here. Look, we're all just having fun. We're talking to kids under 10. Your joke will get your parents into the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. Let's just take them in order, Chip, and we'll start with Kathy. She's in Long Beach. She's on line one. Hey, Kathy. Thanks a lot for calling. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Who's your kid? Who's going to be telling us a joke here?
This is Liam. He's 5.
All right. Let's put Liam on the line.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, Liam. Thanks for calling. You got a joke for us?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
What do you call an elephant on ice skates?
An elephant on ice skates? I don't know.
An icebreaker.
Oh! Kid jokes, kid jokes. All right, Liam, you hold on. Thank you, son. We appreciate it. Let's say hi to Mila. She's in Orange up next. Hey, Mila.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for calling with your kid. Who are we going to talk to here?
This is Ilona. She's 8.
Ilona. All right, let's put her on the phone. Hi, Ilona.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You got a joke for us?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Where do river animals get their money?
Where do river animals get their money? I don't know.
The river bank.
Oh!
Kid jokes. Kid jokes.
Ilona sounded adorable, by the way. All right, let's say hi to Jose in Victorville. Hey, Jose. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Have you been to the new Cracker Barrel there in Victorville yet?
We sure have. 4 times already.
How is it? Is it awesome?
He is so jealous.
Yeah, cool. Oh, good. Nice store.
Hey, listen. When I'm in LA for April Foolishness, I may drive out to Victorville to go to the Cracker Barrel. I'm very excited to check it out.
Oh my
All right.
God.
Who's the young man you have standing by for us?
I got little Jose. He's 10.
Jose is 10. Okay. Well, he's a little bit outside the age limit, but we'll allow it, I guess. Good morning, Jose.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
We're just fine. Thank you.
Good. Well, you got a joke for us?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road?
Why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road, you guys?
I don't know. Why?
Because he was stuck in a crack.
That's Mike's new favorite joke of all time. All right. Thank you, Jose. Thank you. Let's go to Anthony in Inglewood. Anthony, how are you doing today, man?
I'm well. How are you?
We appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure you're very busy with the children there this morning. Who are we going to be talking to?
His name is Bison, and he's 6 years old.
All right. Let's put little Bison on the phone here. Hey, Bison.
How do you make a napkin?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
How do you make a napkin dance?
Bison has no time for small talk, by the way. How do you make a napkin dance? I don't think we know that one.
You throw a little boogie in it.
I like it. All right. Let's do one more. Let's make Let's make it Monica in Whittier. Well, let's see what we have time for. Hey, Monica, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Who's your little man?
I've got Walter, who is 7 years old.
Strong.
Oh, we'd
strong
love
name.
To talk to Walter.
Oh, I love the name Walter.
Yeah, Walter's awesome. How are you, Walter?
Good.
How do you feel about being on the radio?
Good.
Yeah, it's fun. You're famous now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a joke for us?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it, son.
How do you make cold soup? You put more carrots in it.
All right. It was gold soup, you guys. You put more carrots in it.
Oh, carrots.
Yeah, there
it's
you
like
go.
24 carat gold.
All right, Allie, I'm gonna acquiesce and do one more. Okay?
I'm with you, Allie. I didn't get it at first.
let's go to Lawrence and Downey. Hey, Lawrence, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for calling. Who's going to be telling us the joke today?
I got Alexander here.
And how old's Alexander?
He's 9, and he's going to be opening up for the Comedy Store tomorrow.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
Can't wait to hear what Alexander's got for us. Put him on the phone.
There you go, boy.
Hello?
Hey. Hey there, young man. How are you?
Good.
All right, let's hear your joke.
Why did Cinderella get kicked off the baseball team?
Oh, no. Why?
Why? That's sad.
Because she left the ball.
She left the ball!
Nice!
All right. That's pretty strong, by the way.
This is my favorite thing ever.
All right, you guys. We got little Liam there in Long Beach. We got Ilona, who is adorable, in Orange. Jose in Victorville. Bison in Inglewood. Walter in Whittier. And Alexander in Downey. I think it's got to be a drawing, right?
Because
they're too cute for us to decide. It's just going to have to be random. Only one is going to win tickets for his or her parents to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness at the Microsoft Theater on March 31st. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Liam.
Liam!
Liam,
why? Is this Kathy back on the line?
This is Kathy. You won, Liam!
Liam won!
I mean, you can't go, Liam, but congrats.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Kathy, we'll see you at April Foolishness. Thanks for playing. Thanks, everybody, for Kid Jokes.
Thank you, Kathy. Kid Jokes. Kid
Jokes. Check it out, you guys. Another chance for Imagine Dragons tickets for their show coming up in July at the Forum, and you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. Round-trip airfare and hotel, all part of KROQ Wheels Up 2018 Destination number 3. We have that for you at 9 a.m. today. 9 o'clock, win those Imagine Dragons tickets. Right about the same time, we'll be doing the Keep It 100. So a lot of stuff coming up here on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Allie's here as part of it with what's happening on this Friday.
Well, just last year, the Sopranos creator David Chase was talking about the possibility of a new chapter in the Sopranos saga. But he said, I could conceive of maybe a prequel of the Sopranos, but I could never see a return of the show except as a prequel. Well, guess what? New Line has purchased a screenplay by David Chase and Lawrence Connor with a working title, The Many Saints of Newark. And it's set within the era of the Newark riots in the 1960s, which was basically African Americans and Italian gangs in New York just all up in each other. trying to kill each other. Good stuff.
Are they talking about bringing back some of the cast members from The Sopranos for this?
People are deducing, like, who's going to be back, that type of thing.
Well, if it's taking place in the late 60s, it would be impossible to have
cast members. It would be Tony's father, like Johnny Boy, Tony's uncle, Junior, and a younger version of Livia. So it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the 60s.
What's David Chase been up to since The Sopranos went off the air? He hasn't made any other television.
Didn't
has
he make that Dustin Hoffman book, horse racing show?
Oh, did he?
That lasted like it only lasted like half a season.
Is that Lucky?
Lucky, thank you. Was that? I believe that was David Chase. I think.
Know. Okay. No. Bean likes to ask questions that nobody has the answers for.
I do. All right. Here's what I'm saying. I'm looking on his IMDb here. And the only thing I see after The Sopranos is a movie called Not Fade Away.
Huh.
So I don't know what to tell you. He doesn't seem like he's been busy. That's for sure. So I'm excited to have him back writing for television because, man, he was sure great as the guy behind The Sopranos.
There's something really special about that. Like, that was kind of the last real appointment television, I think, before the modern era of TV took over, where we watch everything when we feel it's comfortable for us.
Like, in other words, you would make sure to never be out of the house on a Sunday night because you didn't want to miss the Sopranos.
Right. Don't you? I mean, didn't you feel that way?
You're probably right.
I remember, like, Saturday thinking, oh, dude, new Sopranos tomorrow?
Yeah. Interesting. It might have been the last show that people absolutely had to be home for.
Because then technology really changed the game. It certainly wasn't the last important show.
No.
It was probably at the beginning of the cable television.
Yeah, I feel like that's the show that ushered in, wow, television is just as good, maybe better in a lot of cases than movies.
Yeah.
That's when you realize that you got the unbelievable quality. And I think that's when people started to really kind of respect it, and that's why we ended up with so many great shows afterwards.
And I look forward to this, you guys.
Me too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Look for another big weekend for Black Panther, which has to go up against another Disney film, Wrinkle in Time. However, estimates for Black Panther this weekend could pull in another 35 to 40 million.
Oh my goodness.
And then Wrinkle in Time is projected to pull in $33 to $38 million. Other movies out, The Strangers Pray at Night. That's a family staying in a secluded mobile home park for the night, visited by three masked psychopaths to test their every limit. That's Christina Hendricks, Bailey Madison, Martin Henderson. And then you've got Kevin's movie, The Hurricane Heist, where thieves attempt a massive heist against the U.S. Treasury as a Category 5 hurricane approaches one of its mint facilities.
I want a good movie.
That is happening.
And brought to you by the people who gave you Fast and the Furious.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so you know it's going to be just nonsense.
So many louds in that movie. A hurricane and a heist.
Yeah.
Who saw that?
I made Kevin watch that trailer, and he was insulted that I said it was a Kevin movie.
A Kevin movie.
It is 100% a Kevin movie.
It's perfect.
There's no way he comes back from vacation having not seen Hurricane Heist.
At least once.
Ugh, I can't. And then a movie starring Joel Edgerton, Charlize Theron, Thandi Newton, David Oyelowo.
I have trouble with that too.
Ever say it right, and it hurts my soul.
We'll give it to you.
But it's called Gringo, and it's a dark comedy mixed with white knuckle action and dramatic intrigue. It explores the battle of survival for a businessman when he finds himself crossing a line from law-abiding citizen to wanted criminal. Dun dun dun.
That's a hell of a cast.
Incredible cast. A lot happening in movies this weekend. Anybody going to see Wrinkle in Time besides me?
Definitely not. It looks awful.
It looks awesome.
I'm sure the book was great. The movie
Wonderful.
Looks dumb.
It hurts my heart. Some birthdays for you. Brittany Stowe.
Why?
No idea. I knew a girl named Becca Stowe, so I wonder if I'm putting them together. Why am I adding a consonant to Brittany Snow's name? I've been doing like a lot lately
with people's names. Yeah.
It's weird. I should talk to someone. Give a call right now if you want to chat about names. Nope.
You're going to talk to your mom about it when you call her later.
Brittany Snow and Oscar Isaac, and that's what's happening.
Let me tell you about this, by the way. We're going to have on the president of the Staples Center, I think the president, I don't have the paperwork up, in about 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to them about how they convert the building for doubleheaders, particularly like this weekend when you have a Kings game and a Clippers game in the same building on the same day. How many people and what's involved in transitioning from hockey to basketball inside a building like that?
Yeah, and this is their 200th.
Their 200th doubleheader.
That's insane.
Yes. So not only will we be talking to him about that, we'll also be giving away tickets to both games and a $200 Team LA gift card. So how's that for an amazing prize? We'll talk to Lee Seidman coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, let's do a little he said, she said. What do you guys think about that?
Nice.
Okay.
Love it.
Allie, what are your qualifications to give advice to our listeners if they have problems or questions involving relationships between men and women?
I've been through it all. I am currently a somewhat single gal. Mm-hmm. I'm able to hear all sides. I can be quite judgy because I have a lot of friends that don't listen to my great advice until it's too damn late.
Ooh, nice. That's so revenge.
I am here for you.
All right. And Mike, your qualifications, please.
I am very, very happily married. I've been very unhappily divorced. So I've seen it from both sides. Mm-hmm. I was quite a prolific
Lothario.
Dater. I was quite a prolific dater in my single mm-hmm. days.
Prolific dater. See, ladies would be called sluts.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Mike was dater. Definitely a man whore. There's no question about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, to a fault. I mean, I might have gone overboard.
Okay.
So I've made all my mistakes. And what do you learn from best other than your own mistakes? So that's why I feel like I am qualified.
Okay, so we're going to take your questions at 1-800-520-1067. I think you guys have done a pretty good job so far of steering our listeners in the right direction. And sometimes I feel like when they call, they kind of already know what it is they should be doing, but they need to hear from somebody. They need to hear mm-hmm. an outsider's opinion to kind of verify for them that they're on the right track.
Dude, that's why Loveline was on the air for 30-something years.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the times they knew the answer. They just wanted to hear someone else say it. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear if you want a perspective from a man and from a woman, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number we're going to get into. He said, she said in a minute. All right, here's this week's kickoff starter question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
My man has become a public figure in the world of social media. He has strangers kissing his ass all day and women all over the world propositioning him, which has inflated his ego to a point where I feel he doesn't appreciate what he has, and he's extremely lucky to have snagged a woman like me. I held out for love until I was 34. I wanted the kind of man who saw the best in me, and this was the man. We met last year, and we married. But he became famous on Instagram, and my fairy tale has now turned into a nightmare. He ignores me and escapes to the alternate universe of Instagram where he's perfect and loved by one and all. He doesn't accept the responsibility for the role he's playing, which is destroying me and us. I don't want to give up on him and the future we collectively imagine, but I don't know what to do from here. How can I compete with his online fame in this other world that he inhabits? Ooh. This is unspecial in his eyes is how this letter is signed Ooh. To this advice column to Elle Magazine. Let's hear what you guys have to say about it. I'm sure this is fairly common where people deal with their partner's alternate reality on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle something like this? What do you do? What's your advice, Allie?
That's a tough one because I have seen people get famous and not on Instagram, like in real ways, and become complete D-bags, complete awful ladies. And you almost need the time to experience that, to realize how awful you are. And then you get over it. It takes some people a lot of time. And I can imagine someone that is on Instagram that's gotten Instagram famous. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other ball game of
delusion.
So I hate to say it. She's got to let him do his thing and figure it out.
Really?
Yeah, because
really?
This guy, even if you're married to him, this guy, there's no coming back for a while. She could say to him, you need to pay more attention to me. I'm right here. He's going to take that as nagging. And these people love me for who I am online. It's ugly.
And he doesn't see, though, that these people don't know him. He's probably just a super buff, handsome guy and therefore has a fan club. But they don't know what he's like in real life. They don't know what it's like to live with him or to try to be with him, right?
They're just looking at him on the screen. Yeah, he's getting off on those likes. That's it. And some people, that's what they need.
Mike, what do you think? What's the solution here?
I do think Allie's right that he needs to come to his own realization that he's being a D-bag. Mm-hmm. But I think when, especially when you're married, she has every right to put that right, rub that right into his face.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to sit around and wait for him to come to that mm-hmm. realization. She can, you know, push that along to make sure that it happens a little faster. And because there's no kids, at least it sounded like there's no kids.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, I think an ultimatum can be made.
Yeah.
Like you
which
either
is what?
Change,
which is put down the Instagram?
Put or regulate it better. Start appreciating me as your wife,
right.
You dick, or I'm going to leave you. Because there really, what's the difference between this and cheating other than the, you know, the physical touch? The, this guy is replacing the intimacy that he has should have with his wife mm-hmm. with strangers.
Yeah.
And it's
and
gross.
The time, too. The time that he ought to be spending with her, it sounds like he may be spending on his phone as well. So they got – this is a serious problem, by the way. This is one that would be easy to look at from the outside and go, what's the big deal? He's not doing anything. He's just playing around on his phone or whatever. But when you start to look into the, you know, into this more deeply, they got a real problem, right?
For sure.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You want the he said, she said perspective? We are taking your calls on any topic right now, and we'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Sober Up. Again, that's AJR featuring Rivers Cuomo from Weezer here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. And speaking of great music, how about this? M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold and Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage touring together this summer. And they'll both be in our studio in about 25 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. So stick around for that. First, though, time for He Said, She Said.
He said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said. So come on.
Indeed. 1-800-520-1067. You want some advice from Mike Catherwood and Allie McKay? Call us right now. Why don't we start with line one, please? Let's get Sam on the air. He is calling us from Van Nuys. Sam, we appreciate you listening and calling in. What can we do for you, sir?
So right now I've found myself in a sort of predicament where there's this great girl that I know. She's kind of shy, but I know that she's very attracted to me. And I feel like I could really start an honest relationship with her. Although, at the moment, I have this sort of thing going on with another girl, more of a physical thing. And the issue is that it's sort of emotional. Although I have this, there's this thing where she seems to be putting on this facade whenever she's with me, and I really don't like it. Huh. But.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Can I translate?
Yes, please do, Mike, because I'm lost.
One girl makes you is super hot and gets you super going. The other girl is a better human being, and you know that. Always think with your big head on top of your neck, not the little one in your pants. Go with the girl who you know to be a better person.
Okay.
Allie, you agree?
Simple. I was listening to that. I'm like, you just said you could make an honest relationship with her. You dig her, everything. I'm like, okay, done. There's no even talking about the other chick. She doesn't matter to you right now.
If you're asking him to give up the hot chick that he has sex with, though.
Well, guess what? The other chick can't be that ugly if he's thinking about a relationship with her.
Okay.
And it's from a man who has had the luxury of having plenty of attractive women, you may regret every once in a while, you know, run through your head, you will regret giving up super hot chicks. You will regret for a lifetime letting a real quality relationship slip through your fingers.
Sam, I think your decision has been made, sir. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go down to Huntington Beach, line three. This is going to be Adam up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam, welcome to He Said, She Said. Mike and Allie are here to help. What's going on?
So a couple years ago, I was in a serious relationship for about 3 years and ran into a little incident where she cheated on me. And she admitted it to me. I kind of had to pry it out of her. We both agreed that we wanted to work on it, and we tried. So we decided, at the time I lived with a bunch of roommates, we decided, okay, let's buy a house together. Let's move out. We did that, got engaged. 6 months goes by. She does it again, and I'm like, okay, that's it. I can't do this anymore. It was the first time in my entire life I ever gave a cheater a second chance.
Yeah.
Just because those were my standards. Mm-hmm. And I was so heartbroken, and it's been almost 4 years,
And I just feel like every time I try to get into a relationship, not that I want to keep myself secluded or keep my guard up. I try really hard to let my guard down. But I'm finding myself just not falling for anybody. It's almost like I don't care.
Yeah, you're closing yourself off from people because you're afraid of getting hurt. And that's completely normal and totally understandable. Do you need to get over that? Absolutely, or you're never going to have another normal relationship. Is it easy to get over? No. You could try talking to somebody, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a friend, whether it's somebody else, but you definitely need to let those walls break down a little bit because people are definitely passing you by. Don't let her, who was awful at a relationship, make you now awful at relationships. It's not fair.
I've also caught myself being more picky. Does that normally come along with this as well? Like,
I think that comes with age too, because you get to a point where you're kind of set in your ways and you think, I've come this far. Why would I, you know, settle type of thing? And I don't think picky is bad. It's just don't be using picky as an excuse for not talking to somebody or getting to know someone, because ultimately it's the fear that's holding you back.
You know, the first call we took was so black and white, so easy to solve. This one, I think you're right, Allie. I think this is just one that just takes time and real effort in order to finally let those walls down a little bit. I mean, you were hurt. You were scarred. You know, scarred the same way you would if you had been beaten or abused or something like that. That's going to stick with you for sure. But you're smart enough to recognize it and to be trying at least.
I will tell you, self-sabotage is a bitch, and I'm real good at it, and I recognize it in other people, but even when I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm not I am. And it'll keep you away from great people, Adam. It's going to take time, but it'll change.
I'm glad you called. You sound like a good dude, Adam.
Good luck, dude.
Okay, get back to us, all right?
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right, let's squeeze in one more. And he said, she said, this is going to be Greg. He's in line 4 in Orange. Our final call this morning on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Greg, welcome to the show. What's going on, buddy?
Morning, guys. And Allie.
Hey.
Quick rundown. I have 2 kids with my girlfriend, my current girlfriend, and I lost my job, and we made a financial decision before I lost my job that I would quit my job and take care of the kids because, you know, daycare is expensive.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So.
You gotta speed it up a little bit here, Greg.
Sorry. So. Short, that I'm on thin ice, I feel, with my girlfriend because she feels like I'm lazy, and I don't want her. I need to let her know that I'm not lazy, and like everything I do is like a constant struggle for her.
So you're staying at home with the kids, and she still is calling you lazy for not having a job? Is that the short version of the story?
Yeah, and like little things I do around the house, like, is not good enough for her. Like, it's always a constant, like, her tone is really, at me, or like has an attitude with me. I want to.
And you sound like such
a
fun guy to talk to.
Oh,
great! Have you tried directly talking to her about this, Greg? I mean, really letting her know how much that hurts you.
Yes, I have. And she's very like black and white. She's not in the gray area. She's just straightforward and tells me, like, sometimes let's just fix a problem. I need to go.
Dude, this is a bad situation.
Yeah,
bad phone and bad situation.
I think maybe you need to look to the help of a professional.
There's kids involved. That's why I would say a help of a professional would be good, because she's shutting off from you, and there's a reason, and you're not getting it. You're not understanding why she's acting this way, especially if it was something you kind of came to the conclusion of before you lost your job, that was going to be the trajectory of your relationship, that you'd be staying home. There's something else going on with her that she's not letting you in on something.
Right. And she's clearly not listening to you when you directly say it. So maybe the help of an outside, you know, an impartial arbiter will help.
Yeah, this is a serious one. You got to get some help on that, and I hope you do. And get back to us and let us know how it goes, Greg. Thanks so much for the calls, everybody. That's He Said, She Said.
He said, she said, he said, she said, he said, and she said things.
one of our all-time favorite guests, Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage, joins us in studio just after 8 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And how about this? M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold. Mike, I know you're a big fan. I am too. Touring together?
Nice.
Pretty good deal this summer. We'll talk to the boys coming up just after 8. First, though, speaking of great concerts and great concert venues, what do you think it must be like? Imagine how many decisions you have to make if you are the president of Staples Center, the Microsoft Theater, and LA Live. My head hurts just thinking about Lee Seidman's job. How's that work?
Let's find out. I can't imagine being that organized. I really can't.
I know. Hey, Lee, welcome to Kevin Manchester. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Our pleasure. You were the Staples Center's first employee in 1998. Prior to that, you worked over at the Forum for like 10 years or something like that. How does one end up in a job where you manage arenas, Lee?
Well, very lucky. I started out working at universities and kind of fell into booking concerts as a student, worked my way through the student process, and kind of built a job working at a few universities, and then kind of got lucky as I fell into becoming the director of operations at the Forum. Prior to that, I ran the 6,000-seat event center at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and that was kind of like my first foray into venue management.
Okay, gotcha. And the Staples Center is one of the busiest and most profitable arenas in the whole world, right?
It is. We do anywhere between 240 and 250 events a year, depending upon our teams getting into the playoffs.
Good Lord.
It's amazing. Are there very many venues, Lee, that host three professional sports franchises in the building?
We actually host four, if you count the WNBA Sparks as well, who have won three world championships there.
All right, fair enough.
We're the only building in the world that hosts four professional sports franchises. And as you know, we do the Grammys, we do the NBA and NHL All-Star Games. We're getting ready to do March Madness end of this month, where we have the West Regionals. So it's a truly multi-purpose facility that was built to do all these type of big events.
That's incredible. And I can't imagine the effort that has to go into the scheduling, especially when you see how many hockey games there are every year and how many basketball games there are a year. It must be almost impossible to put them all on the calendar and in a way that's going to work for you.
Well, the interesting thing is if you count all four teams, that's about 150 events right there without the playoffs. And then if you throw in family shows, the Grammys, the All-Star Games, the March Madnesses, and anywhere from 30 to 40 concerts, it gets to be pretty packed. But what people really don't understand is due to the fact that we have three professional sports teams playing at the same time, the Kings, Lakers, and the Clippers, we have to hold from April 15th to June 15th all those dates because we don't know who's going to get in the playoffs. We don't know who they're going to play. We don't know if they're going to have home ice or home court advantage.
Also, it's not like just planning a party. It's also dependent on the opposing teams. You got to make the schedules jive with all the people who may be coming into LA to play the Clippers, Lakers, and Kings. I mean, that really seems like an impossible job. Is this something you do digitally, or is it like my fantasies that you just have a giant poster board and everyone sits around making
it fit in? Just a big marker and
stickers. Well, I don't think it's like your fantasy because what I've heard is your teams don't do that well. So we kind of sit around and we do throw darts at a board, and whoever's in town, whoever comes and plays. I'm kidding, guys. What happens is we'll actually sit down with the Lakers, Clippers, and Kings, and we'll come up with 50 to 60 dates that we'll submit to them, and they'll turn around and submit it to the NBA and the NHL, working with us. And we'll figure out a schedule with both the leagues, keeping in mind that we hold certain dates back when we know who's touring, when we know what big concerts are going to be out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you ever see a big tour coming through and you're like, oh, man, we can't book them right now?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, some of those two big tours have happened during the months of April, May, and June, where we've had to hold those dates. And there have been times where we roll the dice. I'm not a fan of rolling the dice.
Oh,
when you roll the dice, that means you book a concert with the hopes that your team is not going to have a home playoff game.
Right.
We've done it a couple times, and it almost came back to bite us. There are various arenas who it did bite. For instance, last year, Garth Brooks at the Tampa Bay Arena. They had a few nights scheduled. Tampa Bay had a big run in the NHL playoffs, and they had to move those dates. So it's not something that we like to do because you lose a lot of sleep when you do that.
Yeah,
fascinating. Our guest is Lee Seidman here on the Kevin Mincho. He's the president of Staples Center Microsoft Theater, where, by the way, we're going to be at the end of the month for our April Foolishness comedy show, Lee. So thank you for hosting us there. And also LA Live. I wanted to ask, so tomorrow, for instance, is one of those days where you have two different sporting events going on in the building on the same day. And this is, do I have the math correct? Is this the 200th doubleheader there at Staples Center?
This is the 200th doubleheader at Staples Center. By a doubleheader, we mean we're playing a Lakers and a Kings game, or a Clippers and a Kings game, or a Lakers and a Clippers game in the same day, where one will start roughly 1 o'clock and the other one will start at roughly at 7:30. So we turn the building and we get ready for each game while people leave and come back.
And what's involved in that when you have to make the transition from ice to hardwood?
When we go from ice to hardwood, the first thing you need to do is put down what we call an overlay floor, which is about 520 pieces of decks that actually cover the ice. And then from there, you build your basketball court on top of that. You bring out your seating sections. You bring out your additional risers, your press setups, and you get all that ready. It takes us about an hour and 50 minutes to complete the process. But what people really don't understand is while that's taking place, you know, that building's about 1 million square feet. So we've got about 150 people cleaning it, stocking the suites with food and beverage, getting the concession stands ready as well, cleaning the restrooms, all within that hour and 50-minute time period, because we've got to turn it around that quickly to get the next 18,000 people into the building.
Well, Lee, I will be at the Kings game tomorrow. If you need me to help, I can stick around.
Allie, we have you scheduled at the main conference women's restroom, so you'll be in those restrooms throughout the afternoon. And then we'll allow you to stay for the Clippers game that evening.
All right. You know what? I'm down. I've cleaned a few toilets in my life.
He was ready for you, Allie.
He was. I appreciate it.
I have one other question before we do the giveaway, Lee, and that is I was really surprised to read that the Clippers basketball floor is different from the Lakers basketball floor. Even if you've got a basketball game in the afternoon, you can't just leave the hardwood down for the basketball game at night. How come?
Well, first of all, the Clippers and the Lakers do not do anything alike. Either one, they do not share the same floors. They do not share the same press setups. They do not share the same court setups. So the Clippers floor is about 265 panels, and the Lakers floor is about 233 panels. What the Clippers floor allows them to do is to put their seats on the floor, and it gives them a couple different VIP rows behind that. The Lakers only do one VIP row right behind their court. So when we go from Clippers to Lakers or vice versa, it's a complete gutting of the arena floor and the press area there, and we change the entire thing. And what we like to call is we'll either Laker-size the building or Clipper-size the building moving forward to make the bowl, the inner bowl there, look like it's a complete Clippers home game or a complete Lakers home game.
I mean, you couldn't say to the Clippers, listen, we're doing it the Lakers way.
Yeah, well.
I mean, back in the day, you could have, right?
Right. Easily. Maybe not now.
That is fascinating.
Maybe not now, maybe not ever. Nobody wants to do anything the same in that building, but that's the beauty of the building and what the men and women who work so hard to do all this stuff is. They have the ability to turn that building on a dime, and it was built that way. It's very exciting.
It's awesome.
Well, Lee, you are doing a great work out there. Obviously, it's one of the premier facilities in the world, so we've got a great package to give away right now, a pair of tickets to the Staples Center doubleheader, so you get to see both the L.A. Kings hosting the St. Louis Blues at 1 and the Clippers versus the Magic at 7:30, and then in between you go off and you walk around, you get yourself some food and come on back for the nightcap. Plus, we're going to throw in a $200 Team LA gift card. All
what?
Of that for caller 20. Damn. I know it's too much.
It's too much.
All of that for caller 20 right now, courtesy of our friend Lee Seidman. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win that amazing prize package for tomorrow at Staples Center. Lee, keep doing what you're doing, man. We love you. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks. We'll see you at April Foolishness.
You bet. Bye-bye, sir. We'll talk Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage. They're touring together. M Shadows and Tom Morello from those respective bands are going to be joining us in studio right after the top of the hour here on good old K-Rock at 7:55. Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is our That's My Jam playlist that we do on Spotify. If you guys don't know about it, I mean, where have you been? We've done it for about 4 weeks. Every week, we add new songs to the playlist. The whole Kevin and Bean team adds songs that we're either digging at the moment, that we maybe passed by before. They don't necessarily have to be new songs, but a lot of people think that we are the ones that set up our playlists that you listen to during the show. We don't. We have very varied musical interests, and sometimes it's fun just to get to know what Kevin likes to listen to, what Mike likes to listen to. So every week, we add a new song to the playlist, and then usually around 7:50 on Friday mornings, we play them.
A little music for your weekend.
A little music for your weekend. Since Kevin isn't here, but he already contributed, which is, wow, way to go, Kev Dog. His song for this week is Lord Sober.
These are the games of the weekend. We pretend that we just don't care, but we care. We're drunk.
dream with a fever. Bet you wish you could touch our rush. But what will we do when we're sober?
Look, you can't go wrong with any song from Lord.
You can't. It's actually science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned that on South Park.
Did you?
Yeah. She stands dad.
Okay.
It's her secret alter ego.
I didn't
She's
know that.
Randy. Yeah.
All right. Good times.
Surprised you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
Nope. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, Lord.
Next up is Bean. What's your song?
My song is by a young woman who, this is not her real name, but she records under the moniker of Soccer Mommy. And she is 20 years old, and she's one of those artists who built up a lot of buzz putting her songs up on SoundCloud and then eventually got a record deal. And this album is so great. And I will tell you, though, this is my only heads up. For me, it was not a one-listen record. I heard it the first time, and I went, yeah. Second time, I went, ah. Third time, I went, wow.
Okay.
So it does grow on you. And I think the song that we have chosen from Soccer Mommy is called Still Clean.
And I'm not only, but she wanted for me.
I know this is going to sound like heresy, but her lyrics are Kurt Cobain-y a little bit.
Awesome guitar, too.
Not trying to make a comparison. I'm not saying she's Kurt Cobain. I'm just saying reminiscent of the kinds of songs Kurt used to write. So
okay.
Please enjoy Soccer Mommy.
Right.
Great name, too.
It's a great name. I had Soccer Mommy hair for a while. Didn't love it. Mike Catherwood, you're up next.
Oh, there's been a real resurgence in the metal world of the doom and gloom genre, subgenre, and I love it. I love it when they downtune and slow things down. This song is from a band called Apostles of Solitude. It's like a bong load for your ears. And this song is called Overlord. Yeah, keep it going.
So if we see you on the 10 headbanging, Mike, in your car, this is what you're listening
to.
Oh,
just danked out of my mind, head out in El Camino.
Yeah.
You hear that, brother?
Usually I don't want a load in my ear, but that was good.
Hey-o!
Pow. Stupid. And finally, my choice is a band that I adore. I've loved them since their first single came out in 2013. They're a four-piece British band named Wolf Alice. And this song is off of their second studio album, Visions of a Life, that came out, I think, in the fall of last year. But it's called Don't Delete the Kisses. And that's not really a representation of them. They can rock at times, mm-hmm. but this song is, it's lovely. I really like it.
There should be a playlist of only wolf bands with wolf in the name.
That's a great point.
Wolf Mother, Wolf yes. Alice.
They're calling it the End of the World Tour, you guys. Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage with 3 days grace, touring the country, touring the continent. August 22nd at the Forum, we welcome from two bands on the bill, M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold and our old friend Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage. Hey, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
What's up? Welcome to K-Rock.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Tom, we see you about every 2 weeks, but we're always happy to have you walk through the door. But I don't nice think we've back. Talked to Mr. Shadows. I did a little research last night. The last time you were on the Kevin and Bean Show was in 2006, if that's possible.
Oh, it's been too long.
Which has been way too long.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you back. Now, I get the impression from seeing the press you guys have been doing announcing this tour that y'all haven't known each other long. Is that right? Have you recently kind of hooked up
two
as
days?
Friends?
Yeah, yeah.
We've known each other for 2 days now.
While I'm familiar with Avenge Music, we just met in person a couple days ago.
Yeah. Oh, you're serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, I thought you were kidding.
No. Our rock paths have not crossed until recently.
That makes no sense. Not at a festival, nothing.
It's odd, but true.
Yeah.
Well, these guys don't play enough.
Yeah. I agree.
Tom, is there ever a night where you're not playing somewhere?
Come on now, man. I'm yeah.
Well, that's your part.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean it's what
But we haven't never played shows with you guys.
We've never crossed paths playing
shows.
That
is a little bit of a surprise. Now, would you say that you are, and I'm setting us up for disaster here if this goes poorly, but would you say that you are mutual admirers of one another's work?
I am. We were talking about this the other day, that I remember when the Bat Country video first came on, and to me, it was such a refreshing dose of unapologetic rock and roll in a time where, like, what I think, one of the things I love about Avenged is that it is trend resistant, mm-hmm. you know? And this summer, what we're aiming to do is make one of those big summer rock and roll tours that I love to go to as a kid, where it's kind of a gathering of the tribes, and it's unapologetically rocking, and there's a level of musicianship that you don't find at a lot of tours in venues aside.
Yeah, and I grew up, you know, listening to K-Rock, and Killing in the Name was one of the first things that struck my attention. Obviously, listening to rock, you guys were playing Bad Religion, you guys were playing Rage Against the Machine, you guys introduced me to System of a Down. So, became a huge Rage Against the Machine fan, learned all the stuff on the guitar, so thank you for that. And it probably started us on our path pretty early.
So you're saying if Tom is feeling sick one night,
I'll go up there and play
he'll do your part. Yeah.
My single finger nice. Guitar skills.
That'd be nice. All right. That would be nice. Hey, Matt, I'd like to hear you respond to what Tom said, and I think it was a compliment that you guys are trend free. You do what you do. Has that been difficult for you to kind of stand alone as other musical trends have come and gone during the years that Avenged has been around?
Thank you for that. But I think we're a product of heavy metal in general. I think it's one of the biggest genres in the world, but I think the mainstream continues and chooses to ignore it. And I understand why. It's abrasive and it makes you think, and it's it's aggressive music. But I think when you play heavy metal, you can go to Brazil, you can go to Asia, you can go to anywhere in Europe, and it's a huge gathering of people and music lovers, and that's kind of how we've been able to survive in this musical climate. It's tough, but at the same time, we play a genre that has just survived. We're like cockroaches. We're cockroaches of the music scene, and people that love heavy metal love it for life.
And not just Brazil. You can go to the Inland Empire, and you can go to Inglewood to the Forum. Like, I've played a few shows with playing some rock and roll there that have been
So I think it's more attended. Of the genre that we play, and I think we've been extremely lucky. I don't know what the... we haven't cracked any code. We're just playing music that we love. And if you make the music that you love, people will respond to it. There's people out there that want to hear that stuff.
Well, there's also, you guys definitely did something special. And you commented on how Prophets needs to play more, especially in the early days. Avenged couldn't have played anymore. You guys earned your stripes.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that, too.
Well, and there's like a whole generation of, the metal elite, and you have to win those people over, the older bands that don't want to have anyone new and young upcoming. And I think we've proven ourselves. We've gone out there and we've played every show. We've opened for the Iron Maiden. We've opened for Metallica. We've got bottles thrown at us. We've, bottles full of urine, and we've taken it, and we
that
haven't.
That means they love you.
Yeah, that means they love you, right? In Europe. It's kind of a.
I was going to ask you guys. I'm glad you guys brought up opening for Metallica, because I bet there are hardcore fans that go to a Metallica show, and that's all they care about. They don't want to see anybody that's going to be between them and their heroes getting on that stage. And I was wondering if that was tough for you to open for a band that has such a passionate following.
It was a lot tougher when we weren't known, and we would do it in Europe, and people would just stand with their arms crossed, or they'd turn their back to you, or they'd throw bottles at you, which is what it is. And now, we bring out bands sometimes, and our fans do that to them, which we don't condone, but it's just how it is. You earn your stripes. But this last summer tour we did with them, it's tough going from being a headliner and then jumping into a situation where you're playing in the daylight. There's a stadium full of people that maybe don't know who you are. They want Metallica to get on the set. So you have to go out there and really bring it, which I think it's pretty inspiring, actually, because there's a lot of people that you haven't won over, and you have to try to do that.
I feel like metal in the daylight has to be one of the hardest things to do.
In under the Atlanta sun?
Yeah.
Sometimes, it's like 120 degrees.
Though it's a great name for the next live album.
Right? Metal in the daylight. Yes.
I like it. Tom, how about you with all of your various bands and incarnations? Do you have any horror stories as an opening act?
Not really any horror stories. I mean, with Rage, we opened for U2, and sometimes the stadium wasn't exactly exactly, you know, full by the time we got there. And in 93, we opened up the whole Lollapalooza tour where no one knew who the band was at all. And we're, you know, we're playing at like 1:45 in the afternoon and people are coming in with their first beer and their...
Like the K-Rock side stage at the Weenie Roast. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. For example, and the way to discover the band. But I always, to me, I think that's, I love that. Like sort of the stalking position, and there's I've never been in a band, never played a show where there isn't a chip on our shoulder. Like last summer, we did a lot of Prophet's metal festivals and hard rock festivals in Europe, and some of the journalists, you know, kind of snarky French metal journalists, would be, so are you nervous about playing in front of all these metal bands? I'm like, no, I'm not. It's going to be fine. Trust me, it's going to be just fine. You know, because there's from day one, there's a you know, it's a big part of our makeup is loud guitars, and yeah. We go on that stage never expecting anything other that we're going to rock you senseless, and that's
I love that because I know Prophet's every night's going to try to blow us off the stage, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to respond to that, and I love that, and it's healthy, it really is, because you know, we can all be friends off the stage, but yeah. The fans are going to, you know, they're going to get more out of this if both bands are trying to bring it every night, yeah. And I'd love that.
It only makes for a better show. And the one thing that I'm very much looking forward to touring with these guys is that there is an elevated level of musicianship and caring about being able to play and master your instruments that this band has, that we take very seriously, that you do not find in acts playing the size venues we're going to play. It just doesn't happen like that. Like, I spent, you know, 20,000 hours on my guitar trying to, and I know he's got a few guys in their band that have done the same. So it's going to be a real pleasure to, you know, both watch them from the side stage, sort of trade licks and whatnot, but also for people who are coming to watch a show, it's like people who care very, very, first and foremost, cared about being a musician, not a rock star, you know? And so that is a kind of thing that is an authenticity both bands are going to have.
Mike brought that up earlier in the show. He was talking about the absolute musicianship of Avenged, and then combining you to that, you're like, it's going to be like just mind-blowing for your senses.
Yeah, I mean, people like to poke fun at kind of the silly cartoonish nature of like the glam rock hair metal days, but there was a time and a place where you had to really rip. I mean, you couldn't, I mean, yes, you had crazy hair and you wore leather pants, but at the same time, everyone had to play, and there was a kind of this there was a real priority put on being able to be, like you said, Tom, a musician ahead of being a rock star.
Yeah, and there was like a gunslinger mentality. It's like, I started playing guitar late. I didn't start playing until I was 17 years old, so I was well behind any of my favorite rock guitar players. So I just had to put in the hours. But I always admired, you know, from jazz saxophonists to guys like Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen, who really like were musicians first, and then the rock, you know, trappings came later.
What do you, why do you think there are so many people who are out there just winging it or being sloppy or not being as committed as you guys were? Is it just because you can and get away with it?
I mean, I don't know if it's just a matter of priorities and what you, because there's certainly, just because you have a technique on the instrument or not, doesn't make it a good or bad rock band. You know what I'm saying? Like I love Rancid, one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're not woodshedding 20 hours a day learning the Phrygian mode on the guitar. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And so it's certainly not a prerequisite, but for those of us that have put the time in, I think it's going to be, you know, fulfilling.
You got to find those guys that practice their instruments and can play, but also are good songwriters. Mm-hmm. Like Rancid's a perfect example of great songwriters. Yep. Tim Armstrong and Lars are genius songwriters. Yep. And that's number one. Number two is, it's kind of cool, and you see this a lot in metal, when you get good songwriters and you have great musicians, which is what drove me to metal. That's why I love it.
I love hearing you guys talk because you're still so passionate about what you do. I mean, it's a job, but it also is a calling for you two and your
bands. Absolutely.
And I admire that. No. The tour is called the End of the World Tour. Where are we in? I saw on your social media that we just had the pre-sale. Are tickets on sale now?
Tickets are on sale today.
For the tour, right? Today.
At 10 o'clock today.
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. 10 o'clock this morning. Okay. With dates starting July 22nd in Massachusetts, ending up in September in Houston. And, of course, our date is the Forum on the 22nd of August, 10 o'clock this morning, to buy tickets for this great show. Many more questions for our guests. M. Shadows and Tom Morello are both here. Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage will be right back on K-Rock. 10 o'clock this morning, LiveNation.com to get your tickets. And please do for the End of the World Tour, Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage. And on most dates, 3 Days Grace also joining the bill. We got M. Shadows in studio, singer-songwriter for Avenged Sevenfold, and our old friend Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage. By the way, Tom, I don't know why Mike brought this up earlier today, but we were remembering We were your one phone call from jail that one time.
That's correct. That's correct.
I think you got arrested. It was, I think it might have been your Gap protest.
It was a, protest over by LAX, and I got one call, and I called K-Rock from the holding tank.
Very much.
Yeah, it was a spirited conversation, I believe. Yeah.
The phone, it was a lot of fun. Screener, it was so funny coming in. Tom Morello's calling us from jail.
Attempting to reverse the charges, probably.
The only other person, Mike reminded me, that had ever made that K-Rock is one call was Steve-O. Steve-O called us in similar circumstances one time.
There you go.
I should be careful because I don't know the answer to this question. I don't want to bring up anything uncomfortable. But, Matt, have you ever been arrested?
Yes, I have.
Anything good?
Man, it's embarrassing. I have kids now. So
you don't have to say. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I honestly didn't know, but we were on the topic. If you don't want to say, you don't have to
say.
Yeah,
I mean,
restless youth.
I threw a couple punches at a police officer one time.
Okay. All right.
Hey, high school.
Yeah, yeah.
High school. Exactly, yeah.
You feel like you can take on the world.
You didn't know he was a cop.
And guess what? I lost. I lost.
You fought the law, and the law actually did win.
And then I had my dad come get me out. So,
aww.
You know.
Just, I want to talk.
Very metal, right?
not that long ago, I was at my kids' like kindergarten class talking about it was some civil rights thing, and you know at the end of it, you know, because Martin Luther King had been arrested a number of times, and so one of the kids asked me, he said, "Have you ever been arrested?" And these are like 5 and 6 year olds, so I answered honestly, said yes, and then another kid says, "How many times?" I'm like, "Uh oh, I'm like in some territory right here," and I wasn't going to lie to him. I said, "I've been arrested 5 times," and then they're like, "For what?" And it was all sort of. 4 of the 5 were civil disobedience kind of things. Mm-hmm. But all, the rest of the school year, like every mom and dad found me like what sort of felon is it?
Yeah.
Walking the hallways of our every
like
kid
they
just,
don't want you in the parent teacher meetings
exactly,
now, because
exactly.
now that they know you're
every
rap sheet.
Kid, every kid went home to their family like, Roman's dad's been in jail 5 times.
Yeah. Don't go over
That's
to his
fantastic.
House.
Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask. You were mentioning how you spent the last part of the tour on the new record opening for Metallica. Now you get to be the headliners again, and you get to bring the stage you want. And the video that I have seen, as state-of-the-art gets, this is a crazy, almost immersive experience for fans who come to this show, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, the whole last record was based off of artificial intelligence and space exploration. We had Neil deGrasse Tyson on it. So we decided to kind of take you to the planetarium. So we got all this, you know, we worked with a company that doesn't want us to name them anymore because the content that we're using might be, you know, questionable in terms of, you know, PG rated stuff.
Oh,
But you guys can look it up, and it's really easy to look up who the company is. They're a very
He's
big company.
Telling us to Google
it. Yeah, Google it.
All right.
And so, I mean, this
does
this
it rhyme
stage
with Schmizny?
I don't think so. Okay. No. But so this tour, you know, and then on the Metallica tour, we did tons of pyro heavy stuff. We've always been known for the pyro and like kind of that fuel induced, you know, rock show. So on this summer tour, we're going to bring out a combination of both. We're going to do the immersive outer space look with the pyro look with inflatables and all sorts of fun stuff. So
Tom,
it's going to be
step it up.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing. Well,
they'll be fun.
We've got a backdrop and a half step.
We need all the bells and whistles.
I want to ask both of you guys, because you just mentioned the concept album that you wrote, that you have out, that you're touring behind right now. And Tom, obviously, lyrics in your band are often pointedly political. What do you think about the disconnect from some people who are just there for the music, who have no idea what any of the songs are about, and does it bug you?
Doesn't bug me at all. They've always been welcome. I mean, one of the first and foremost, we're rock and roll band that has to play a great show every night and bring it. That's it. You know, no one is going to care about anything you have to say or any of the underlying content if you don't deliver. It's not a college lecture. It's a big rock show, and that's a very important part of it. You know, and from Rage to Prophets of Rage, a lot of times people are drawn to the band because of the aggressiveness of the music. Then they're exposed to a different set of ideas than they often find in heavy music. And what they take away from that, I found that many people do find that appealing. Some don't, but they're welcome in the pit.
Yeah, people have different layers of their enjoyment of certain bands, you know. If the first layer is, let's go enjoy this live. Do I like the music? And then as you start becoming more, you know, intimate with the band, and you start really figuring out the ins and outs of this band, you start listening to the lyrics, you start trying to figure out what their ideas are, and that opens up a whole new, you know, avenue of a sort of relationship between the band and the artist. But, you know, a lot of times you go to these shows, there's 20,000 people there, and there's 19,000 of them just want to, you know, rock out and have a good time and get away from their kids for the night and have a nice night out, and that's okay. But there's 1,000 kids.
Generous of you to say that, because you spend a lot of time writing those songs and having them be good.
Yeah, but you know, that's like a personal outlet. You know, for me, I don't have social media. I don't do all these things. I choose to put myself out through records, and that's like more of a personal thing. And if people don't want to, you know, listen to me or what I have to say on the records, that's okay. It's a personal thing.
And I think it's important not to be elitist. Like, I grew up on my first favorite bands were, you know, Kiss and AC/DC and bands like that, where the lyrical content was often very sexist in nature, but I was drawn to it by, like, the rock and roll. Later, when I discovered punk bands that had a different point of view, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's other things you can sing about than that, but it's still that original music really struck a chord in me. So both of our bands have, like, strike that rock and roll chord, and if you want to go layers deep, then there's other stuff to discover.
Speaking of Kiss, Tom, you posted a TBT photo the other day on the Prophet's social media of you with your face painted like Ace Frehley. Where was that from?
That was Halloween. The whole family, the four of us, we did the four.
We did
Kiss. Yeah,
very strong.
That's great.
It was pretty strong.
One of my most treasured memories of the years that we've been doing the show here on K-Rock is Kiss, when they got back together with the original four and put the makeup back on and did that big tour that they opened up in Detroit that year, remember, Detroit Rock City, their first show was the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
That
was their warm-up show.
Yep.
And Kevin and Bean were lucky enough to have those four guys come in and do an interview, their kind of first interview together after all those years apart. And I was, I'm a little older than you are, Tom, but I mean, I was in the Kiss Army as a kid, you know what I mean? And they were my favorite band. Sure. And I just couldn't believe I was in the presence of that greatness, of those four guys together in the same room. It just blew my mind.
Well, dude, when they were rehearsing for that, they were rehearsing at Cole Rehearsal Studios in Hollywood, down the hallway from Rage Against the Machine when we were recording Evil Empire.
Wow.
And so no one even knew they were doing it. And one day we're in some awful band meeting, and I hear a Kiss song called Come On and Love Me down the hall. I'm like, everybody, shut up! Shut up! And I think that's Paul Stanley singing Come On. And I put my ear to the door, and I'm sure it's Paul Stanley singing the song. So I go to the front desk, and I'm like, who's in room D? And the guy's like, I can't tell you. I'm like, oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh! So, like, they practiced for months and months and months. And so we would see those guys every day. And it takes a longer telling, but I'll cut to the punchline. One day, Timmy C challenged Gene Simmons to a fire-breathing contest.
Oh, what? My God.
You'll have to read my memoirs to get the rest of that story. But let me tell you, a lot went down.
There was no recording
that day or for the next few days afterwards.
Did Gene then say that Tim owed him money? Because
it went in that direction. It went in that direction.
Matt, have you met any heroes?
Oh, man.
Because I would imagine a guy like you get the opportunity to, you know, meet Ozzy Osbourne or something like that would just blow your mind, right?
Yeah, I got to interview Ozzy last year face-to-face, and it was really cool. I did it for a magazine called Metal Hammer. I flew out to Scotland. We had just done a show at the same place Black Sabbath was playing. We were in London and flew out to Scotland, and I hung out with Ozzy, and he was great. First time I met Axl Rose was huge to me. I think it was the time, you know, right when City of Evil came out. A lot of press had been coming out about us and, you know, being fans of Guns N' Roses. And he had been kind of underground. And he showed up to, like, a Korn CD release show at a graveyard. And I was with the Good Charlotte guys. And he walked straight up to me, puts his hand out, and says, I want to thank you for all the cool things you said about me and the band and the press. And
his
I was like,
story has
oh,
everything.
My God. Yeah. And so there's actually a picture, you can Google it, of me and Benji and Joel and Axel this graveyard that Korn was doing
fantastic.
This thing at. So that was Heroes. And then also I would consider Metallica friends now. But, you know, first time we met Metallica, we were playing in San Francisco, and James Hetfield just walked on my bus while I was doing vocal warm-ups with an Avenged Sevenfold hoodie on.
No.
And he's like, hey, you warming up? And I'm just like, yeah, not anymore. And then we ended up hanging out with them all night. So, yeah, we've been very fortunate and lucky to meet, you know, our heroes growing up. And I guess the last guy I want to meet is Kobe Bryant.
Oscar winner
Huge
Kobe
Laker
Bryant.
Fan.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I know we're almost out of time, and this is killing me, guys, because this is so much fun. I'm sure that you are on the receiving end of that idol worship now, where you meet young musicians who have grown up loving your bands, too. And it must be kind of weird to think that somebody thinks about you the way you thought about Ozzy or you thought about Kiss.
Well, listen, the Rage guys are on a different level than us. These guys have been legends for a long time. We're kind of the younger guys still, you know, still coming up, and we're still proving ourselves to even the older generation. And I'm sure to some young kids that's, you know, they look at us that way, and we just try to be as cool as possible to everyone, meet as many people as we can. And
yeah,
it's just a total honor. We just play music. We got lucky to even be here.
Well, that's a great way to end it. That's a beautiful attitude, and it sounds like an amazing show, you guys. The End of the World Tour, Avenged Sevenfold, and Prophets of Rage. Many dates also include 3 Days Grace. It's a great rock festival for your summer. And the date in Southern California is the Forum, Los Angeles. Tickets go on sale 10 o'clock this morning at LiveNation.com. That's going to be a fun, fun show to go to. Let's not make it so long, Matt, before we see you again, all right?
Yeah, all right.
Thank
Let's
you so
it.
Much, and Tom, we'll see you Monday.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Away. Trent sounds terrible, you guys. What happened to him? What happened?
Heroin, man.
Hey, about 20 minutes from right now, two great things are happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show. One is we're going to invite you to text us for Keep It 100. Pick a song to get your weekend going like we do every Friday at 9. And secondly, we're going to give away some more tickets to Imagine Dragons at the Forum. And you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. You're talking round trip, airfare, and hotel to the land of Oz. K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, destination number 3. Both of those things straight ahead here on K-Rock. First, though, time for a March fatness update.
Fat, 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 fat,
fat, fat,
fat, fat, fat,
we are fat,
fat, fat, fat,
super fat,
super fat,
so fat,
Dave is fat,
Beer Mug's fat,
Dave and Beer Mug are fat, they want to be less fat, so fat.
Yeah. A lot of fat happening.
Super fat.
Okay. A lot of fat.
Super fat.
Almost out of time.
Super
for the update.
Super
okay. Thank you.
It's okay. Beans, March Fatness. Dave and Beer Mug are super fat, and they want to be less fat, so they're going to do that. Follow along. Or don't.
Okay, so what happened is March 1st, we came on the air and we said, yeah, Dave and the Mugs, they both kind of let their weight get out of control. Mike, you're here. You're a smart guy. You know what to eat and how to work out. Why don't you help these boys lose some weight, get some better health going? And then the payoff will be the end of the month, March 31st. We'll weigh them again after we weighed them on the 1st and see who has lost the most weight. And then the loser goes on stage at Kevin and Bean's Sold Out April Foolishness and sings Baby One More Time, the Britney Spears song, in the Britney Spears outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Fun for all. So here we are now, a week and a half in. I think it's time for a proper update. How are your boys doing?
Beer Mug's doing utterly awful. And
how dare you?
I mean, just terrible.
Come on.
Dave is doing really well. I mean, Dave is, and he's committed to it, and it seems like he has health as his number one priority, not just the competition. I really am impressed with Dave and his diet. I know he's not exercising, and that would be a great adjunct, but right now he's really doing well. Beer Mug is eating nothing but anything he's not supposed to.
Is Beer Mug's diet worse now than before he was on a diet?
Maybe. According to him,
he's carbo-loading, right,
Beer Mug?
Well, I was carbo-loading for a little bit, Mike, but I have started slowly to incorporate low carbs. And
slowly. He's slowly incorporating low carbs,
and
guys.
By low carbs, what do you mean?
I mean, for instance, Ruben just went out to Del Taco, and I'm just going to get their bacon avocado chicken salad.
All right.
Okay, Mike, right? Is bacon a part of anyone's diet who's trying to lose weight?
Yeah, it can be.
It can be. It's okay.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. But see, this only if there isn't the presence of lots of sugar and carbs, which you can't say that that's the case.
No. I do struggle with... last night, I saw a lot of crackers and bread sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I'd maybe have a couple crackers.
Oh.
What's
go?
A couple?
Probably about 9.
A sleeve. You have a sleeve.
With peanut butter and jelly on top of the crackers.
Mike.
Good.
Mugs,
Mike.
What's the... Are you saying all of this? Are you lying, making all this up so
that's
that we fall into a sense of false security, that Dave can relax a little bit because he knows you're not really trying, but in reality, you're leaving this show and working out all day, every day?
I wish I was that sly, but no, it's a lie. It's part of my... I have an addictive personality, and it's carbs. It's a hard thing to kick for me, mm-hmm. but I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm totally confident that
come March 31st, I'm going to be standing there on stage at April Foolishness, not singing Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Where's the confidence coming from?
I have. I know my body. I know how it works. I everybody forgets that I have succeeded in a weight loss challenge many, many years ago on the Kevin and Bean Show. No one thought that I could lose 20 pounds
in three months.
Yeah. I waited till like the last month and a half to really get started, and I won. I lost 20 pounds.
You waited till the last month and a half. This is only a month. Yet you are shortening your window to like a couple
weeks.
Yeah. That's why I'm not worried. I mean, I could.
No,
I,
see, what he just said is you absolutely should be worried.
Right.
You missed what he just said.
And Dave has a higher starting weight, which means it's going to be easier for him to lose weight. And what I got to add, this is my number one question. So you're not committed to it, or you have an addictive personality, all that. I'm taking that all into consideration. Where on earth do you come up with the balls to start giving Dave advice? Because you've been doing it.
I just thought Dave needed some help.
Oh, my God. I can't.
I mean,
what was the advice you were giving me, Muggs?
I was telling you zero carbs because I saw Dave sitting in the office with a tangerine yesterday.
But I'm you're going home and eating a sleeve of crackers. But Why are you telling him zero carbs?
But I think I can afford to do that. I don't think
Why is that?
I just think I have been gifted with a faster metabolism than Dave.
I see. Okay. It's because he's Mexican, right? You think he can't do anything fast. That's what's happening here.
It has nothing to do with his heritage. No.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm only sad that we have to wait till the 31st for the weigh-in. I can't wait.
Look, everybody is going to be mind blown when I am the winner because...
Yes, that's true.
Because
that's actually true.
I do sound like an asshole right now, but I'm telling you, I know how to win this, and I'm going to.
Yeah, because you know your body.
I know my body, Allie.
I need you to stop saying it.
You want to know my body?
No.
Apparently, you know Dave
just happened.
Damn. God.
Whoa. I'm Team Dave. I guess we wait and find out on the 31st, but Muggs, please keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I will. Absolutely. And I'm going to start doing like social media updates of how I'm going to be losing the weight. So stand by.
And we will begin the videotape training next week.
Awesome. Okay.
Both men.
Okay. Awesome.
Good. Looking forward to that. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Stay fat.
Fat.
We are fat.
You guys ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Ready to take some texts?
Yes.
1-800-520-1067. Text right now if you want to help us keep it 100. You get to pick any song that K-Rock has ever played. If we've still got it in the system, we will play it for you to get your weekend started right. We've had some great suggestions over the past 6 months or so that we've been doing this. Here's a few of them.
It's a dip mess party. Super rad, a super rad. Love the party, ship the boat. It's a holiday in Cambodia.
Allie, you remember how happy Party at Ground Zero made you last week?
I do. It was one of the best days of my life, you guys. I called my parents four times that day to tell them about it.
So you know how it works. If there's a K-Rock song in your mind that you'd love to hear, text it to us right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll play it for you just after 9. First, though, Friday morning, 8:55. Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is Jimmy Pardo remains the best. He's such a great guy. We have him on, and he has the Never Not Funny podcast. And every year for the last 9 years, he has done their annual Podcast-a-thon fundraiser, where he raises an amazing amount of money for Smile Train. And this year was no different. He had amazing guests on all weekend long. Bean, did you get to listen to any of it?
I didn't, but he did put out a highlight YouTube video with clips from a whole bunch of his special guests that came by. And I've got that bookmarked for this week, and I'm very excited to catch up.
It's 12 hours just chatting with some of the funniest people ever. But last night he was on Conan, his old pal Conan, who obviously also showed up to the Podcast-a-thon. Missed my chance again. But he showed up to announce how much money they have raised.
I want to thank you. You invited me
to your podcast, the Podcastathon. It's for a great cause, and I had a lovely time. Audience was terrific.
You're
a great host. I really had a good time.
We do the event for Smile Train.
Explain what that is.
I'm more than happy to. It's a great organization that goes to third world countries to fix the cleft palates and cleft lips of children that couldn't otherwise afford to have that surgery.
Changes their lives.
Changes their life. So for $250 donation, you're basically changing a child's life. And we've been doing this now for 9 years. And I just got the text as I was coming to the stage. We just crossed, we have raised $1 million
for
Smile Train.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
$1 million, you guys.
Yeah, that's a lot of kids whose lives have been changed in the in a positive direction for sure.
Absolutely. You guys, the rumors are true. Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins tweeted this. So excited to confirm the most thrilling news. Yes, it's true. So incredibly lucky to welcome the sensationally talented Kristen Wiig to our Wonder Woman family.
Wow.
Can't wait to finally work with one of my favorites and so excited by what we have planned. Hashtag Cheetah. She's going to be Cheetah in now, Wonder Woman.
That's awesome. Not conversant enough in the Wonder Woman universe to know, but Cheetah is a bad guy, right?
Is a super villain.
Super bad guy.
IGN actually listed Cheetah as the 69th.
Hey-o.
Biggest villain in comic books. So, I mean, it's villainous. Cheetah.
I saw the story, and I was thinking about Kristen Wiig as, like, a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
But then I really thought to myself, she's right up there with, like, a like an Eminem or a Dave Grohl that she pretty, as an entertainer, can do anything.
Drums.
I mean, if she really put her mind to it, she's that kind of person.
Oh,
just a real Renaissance woman. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think she'll be amazing. Bean?
Totally. Yeah.
Right?
Kristen Wiig can do no wrong.
I've said that for years. Did you guys know that there have been 5 seasons of a show that Dan Rather hosts?
What?
On AXS TV called The Big Interview, where he talks to some of the biggest names in music?
I've probably watched 50 of those episodes.
I knew you would have.
I love it. Well, I love Dan Rather, first of all.
Of course
I love him so much.
Who doesn't?
And he really does get phenomenal guests on that show.
Well, not sure if you have seen this season's guest, but the season 6 premiere is bringing out a pretty big gun on March 13th. That's Robert Plant is his lead-off interview. He also chats with members of The Doors, Eddie Money, Shania Twain, Billy Ray Cyrus, Styx, John Mellencamp, and the Oak Ridge Boys on this season.
He loves music.
I had no idea he was that great at interviewing people about music.
And it's a podcast also, so even if you don't watch it on AXS, you can still listen to the interviews. He's very good.
Wow. Had no idea he had that deep love for music. He's such a great interviewer that I guess it makes sense that if he's passionate about something, that would go hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Excellent.
I'm just impressed to see a dude who's 85 years old, though, and is still out there doing stuff like this, you know?
I think he's 86 now.
Okay.
So less impressive? He's like, no, 85. That's a sweet spot for impressive.
Really seems like the key to being lucid way, way, way into life is that all these people that do it, the Betty Whites and the Coach Woodens and Dan Rather, they work till the wheels fall off.
Keeping those minds active. Absolutely. Getting out there. Some birthdays for you. Actress Brittany Snow and actor Oscar Isaac. And that's what's happening.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. Thanks to Brandon Chow from La Habra for listening to the program today. You just won yourself tickets for Imagine Dragons at the Forum, and you qualified to go see them in Australia. Grand prize drawing Monday morning. Your chance to qualify for the same prize, including airfare and hotel at noon, 3 and 6 p.m. All right, you guys, we do this Keep It 100 on Friday every week. Here's what we just missed hearing, and I wouldn't have been sad about either one of these from the 909, Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Classic.
Wouldn't have hated that. Number 101, Hacienda Heights had Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division.
Aw, man.
Another great song, but kind of a little bit of a downer to get us into the weekend, so I think we might have dodged a bullet there. However, Texture 100, let's find out who it is.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
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 I'm gonna keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Let's go out to the mean streets of Tarzana, California, shall we, and say hello to Susie. Hey, Suze.
Good morning.
What is going on? Tell me about you. Tell me about your life.
It's Friday. What's going on? I'm hanging out with my mama and my puppy dogs and drinking beer and having a good day and starting off with a really fantastic song.
Wait, Susie, are you drinking beer right now?
Yeah. See, there's a rule in my house.
No, no, no. You don't need. Don't explain.
No explanation.
No explanation.
Drinking beer with your mom at 9.
And a puppy. You are living my dream life.
You really are living the best life ever. Fantastic.
I think so.
All right, so we appreciate that you were listening to us and you thought to text in. What song have you selected for you and for everybody else for the weekend?
My happy song is Rockefeller Skank by Fatboy Slim.
Hit it, Steve.
How can you not dance
to that? About now, the funk soul brother. Check it out now, the funk soul brother. Right about now, the funk soul brother. Check it out now, the funk soul brother. Right about now. Funk soul brother, check it out now. The funk soul brother, right about now. The funk soul brother, right about now.
How about Susie and Tarzana, you guys, giving us a little Fatboy Slim for the weekend? You happy about that?
I'm happy about it.
That was a great choice. All right, I always like to give you a fun fact about the song we play for Keep Up 100. Rockefeller Skank Alley came out in what year?
2000. No, 90s.
I don't know. Keep going. Give me
2002.
1998, Mike says.
Mike is the winner, ladies and gentlemen. June of 1998, Fatboy Slim's Rockefeller Skank came out. Here's another fun fact. There are so many samples in the song that Fatboy Slim had to clear all those samples, pay for all the people whose work he reinterpreted, and ended up giving away 100% of the track's royalties.
Oh, wow.
He received no royalties from the song because he had to pay all the people whose songs he used for samples in the song. But I think it still worked out okay for him. That is Rockefeller Skank. Thanks again to Susie and Tarzana. We'll do it again next week as we keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I can't tell you how appreciative we are for you selling out the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Fool's Show at the Microsoft Theater coming up on March 31st. Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU recipients of a great deal of the proceeds for this event. And thank you again for that. We've been giving away tickets all this week to see our big show with Fluffy and Adam Devine and Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana. Music and video by DJ Mike Realm. And all week long, we've been doing jokes. We've had people call in with guy walks into a bar joke. We've had blonde jokes. We've had a whole bunch of different kinds of comedy that you have provided to win these tickets. But this morning was the best, right, you guys?
Absolutely.
By far.
It was super fun.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, not even open for debate. Talking to those kids was just fantastic.
We had little kids calling in and giving jokes, and the idea was that the kid who told the funniest or the best joke, and of course we ended up not being able to decide, we just had to do a drawing because they were all so darn funny and so darn cute, but the kid was playing for his or her parents. They were trying to win tickets to this show by telling a joke. So the rule was you had to be under 10. Now, unfortunately, we don't have another pair of tickets to give away right now, but these kids were so adorable. For folks who weren't listening first thing this morning, we thought you'd enjoy hearing some of what they had to say. So we took caller one.
This is Liam. He's 5.
All right. Let's put Liam on the line.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hey, Liam. Thanks for calling. You got a joke for us?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
What do you call an elephant on ice skates?
An elephant on ice skates? I don't know.
An icebreaker.
Oh! Mike, I appreciate what an enthusiastic audience you are for the kids, too.
Loved it, man.
All right. Caller number two.
This is Ilona. She's 8.
Hi, Ilona.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You got a joke for us?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Where do river animals get their money?
Where do river animals get their money? I don't know.
The riverbank.
Ah! All right. That was caller number two. Here's number three.
I got little Jose. He's 10.
Jose is 10. Okay. Well, he's a little bit outside the age limit, but we'll allow it, I guess. Good morning, Jose.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, just fine. Thank you.
Good. Well, you got a joke for us?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road?
Why couldn't the toilet paper cross the road, you guys?
I don't know. Why?
Because he was stuck in a crack.
That's Mike's new favorite joke of all time. I mean, that's a pretty great joke, right?
Strong.
So good.
We weren't done yet. Caller four. Hey, Bison.
How do you make a napkin dance?
Bison has no time for small talk, by the way. How do you make a napkin dance? I don't think we know that one.
You throw a little boogie in it.
Put a little boogie in it.
I like it. I love that there's a 10-year-old who knows the word boogie, by the way. Next caller, please.
I've got Walter, who is 7 years old.
Strong.
Oh, we'd
strong
love
name.
To talk to Walter.
I love the name Walter.
Yeah, Walter's awesome. How are you, Walter?
Good.
How do you feel about being on the radio?
Good.
Yeah, it's fun. You're famous now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a joke for us?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it, son.
How do you make gold soup? You put more carrots in it.
All right. It was gold soup, you guys. You put more carrots in it.
Oh, carrots.
Yeah, there
it's
you
like
go.
24 karat gold.
All right. Okay. Need a little explaining to the girl, but the rest of us enjoyed that joke very much.
I got to back her up. It took me a good half a minute, at least.
And I think we had one more caller in the segment.
I got Alexander here.
And how old's Alexander?
He's 9, and he's going to be opening up for the Comedy Store tomorrow.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
Can't wait to hear what Alexander's got for us. Put him on the phone.
Hello?
Hey. Hey there, young man. How are you?
Good.
All right, let's hear your joke.
Why did Cinderella get kicked off the baseball team?
Why?
Why? That's sad.
Because she left the ball.
She left the ball!
Sorry.
All
right. That's pretty strong, by the way.
This is my favorite thing ever.
That was so much fun. We have to figure out a way to have more kids on the show, right?
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, who won? Whose parents won? Do you guys remember?
Liam.
Liam's parents won. So they'll be attending the April Foolishness. Now, we will have more tickets to give away to that sold-out show between now and March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. But I will tell you, if you're an aspiring stand-up comedian, you can not only win your way in to see the show, you can be on the show Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're going to unveil the details for our opening act contest. So Monday in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have all the details on that. Quick break, and then Allie's got what's happening right after this on K-Rock. All right, Allie, let's see if we can get enough altitude to lift us off the boat to get us into the weekend.
Mike, did you ever hear that?
Oh, Chip, you got to find that moment with it.
It was
one of the all-time greats.
It was a week of just being, he was basically pulling a me with names.
Wasn't I on the Scissorp that week? Was that what it was?
No, it wasn't that because I was here for this one. Okay. Scissorp Bean, I was gone.
All right, okay. Let's hear it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what? I was thinking. I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking he
just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
You may finally achieve the altitude to get off this boat.
What could that have meant? What could that possibly have meant?
Mike is crying.
That's my new favorite one. I thought you'd never top the Slither one with the...
Oh, let's not bring that up. That was unfortunate.
Come on.
I don't think we need to hear the Slither one.
I think you actually had a stroke.
That was Elizabeth Banks was on as a guest.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yes.
I brought up a movie that she had been in years before.
It's not a moment with me. It's titled Bean's Worst Question.
Okay.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
Hall of Fame!
Okay, let's move on.
I mean,
I just think you're terrific.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
It's just better when it's Bean because he's so eloquent and
yes.
well-informed.
Nope.
And
yes.
Apparently not, you guys.
Oh.
Hey, let's give Allie the opportunity to speak into a microphone and make her own moments with this final look at what's happening for the week.
How dare you? I just want to remind everybody, first of all, that we need to set our clocks ahead this
don't
weekend.
Don't you dare say
because
it.
Because it is indeed daylight savings time. So don't forget to set your clocks ahead one hour.
Not savings, Allie. Come on with the come on.
You don't fight fair. That's okay. See if I care.
Right.
Anyone? It's back then. I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
All
for
right.
a second.
It's a little loopy at the end of the end of the week.
Really, really not good. Also,
thank you, Jeff.
Also, want to remind you guys, Mega Millions lottery. Tonight's drawing valued at $290 million. That's $172 million cash value. Saturday night, if $290 million is too paltry for you, the Powerball lottery, that's up to $385 million. That's a $229 million cash value.
See you, suckers.
Yeah,
nice.
Absolutely. We talked about Mark Hamill getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and it happened yesterday with George Lucas and Harrison Ford there. And George Lucas said that Mark Hamilton.
What?
Mark Hamill.
I'm Anderson.
I'm telling you, names
He's
this week.
He's going to hear it.
It's not good. Mark Hamill is a character that can't be written. He's extremely enthusiastic about everything he does, and that's exactly why I was looking for him when I chose him for Luke Skywalker, which is such a lovely thing to say.
Sure is.
About a human being. And then Harrison Ford got up there, looked around, and he said, wow, a lot more people showed up for my star. I love him. I love him a lot. And then a real bittersweet moment during the ceremony when Harrison said, when thinking about today, I was really sorry we don't have the other member of our trio to celebrate with us, but I feel her presence.
Yes.
Presence, of course, talking about the late, great Carrie Fisher. So, I loved those three so much together.
You got to think over that long of a period of time,
that many movies, that many projects. Mm-hmm. They obviously did have some level of a real love for each other to make it work. Because eventually that band would have broke up, you know, if there was any type of turmoil.
Yeah. Oh, they're just so good together. You guys, we talked about it earlier, but people are super excited about The Sopranos coming back. What? But it's coming back as a prequel. David Chase and Lawrence Connor have had a screenplay bought by New Line, and it's the working title is The Many Saints of Newark. The film is going to be set in the era of the Newark riots in the 60s when it was all about African-American and Italian gangs. Dun, you know, dun, dun.
After the little kids telling jokes we were just talking about, I want to see The Sopranos remade with little kids playing all the roles. like a little gangster,
well,
7-year-old Tony Soprano, like, whoring around.
Well, it's got to be in the 60s, so it's going to be a prequel, so it literally could be Johnny Boy and Junior.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
Make me stop saying literally.
It would be them as adult, but it would be cool to see, like, 4-year-old Tony.
Yeah. Just killing
it. Hey, I'm a baby. Let's go to the bada bing.
Why would he say that at 4 that he's a baby?
I don't know.
It's like we're watching it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's transporting you to Newark.
Wow, I dig it. I dig it. Something else I dig, when Kat Corbett comes in on Fridays and tells us all about all the cool things that we might not know about in the city of Los Angeles.
I would like to start on the dark side and then move to the light.
Okay.
Okay. And Mike, I want you to, when I go down this road, I want you to help me look at the list of dues on this festival.
Okay.
So there's a beautiful festival in India that brings in spring. It's called Holi Festival. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably have known, you've seen pictures of beautiful people covered in various colors of, like, it looks like almost like chalk colors.
Yeah. Paint. Sure.
Correct. And they just do these amazing ceremonies.
Gorgeous.
And music and whatever. So, of course, we have one over here in Southern California.
Oh.
Yes. While I hope that the Indian population is represented, I'm looking at the pictures and it just looks like a bunch of, like, D-bags from Burning Man. That's what it looks like.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's really more of a white girl Instagram weekend, right?
Yes. So it's taking place at Whittier. And Whittier Narrows Park. Mm-hmm. And so it's this Saturday and Sunday. And so, Mike, the do's and don'ts here, I'll just start with the first one. It says, going up to strangers and asking, may I lovingly decorate your face and recolor your hair?
No. Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
You never thought to phrase it like that, did you, Mike?
No. No. And, I mean, considering all the times I've watched May I Lovingly Decorate Your Face, I would have thought that, you know, that would have run through my mind.
Let me see. Hugging strangers with their permission. That's on the do.
Okay.
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 All right.
Nice.
This one. Booing moshers.
Well, that's...
Booing them.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why are you with that? That's not okay.
No, I'm saying, like, listen, if you're going to... take it upon yourself to involve yourself in a mosh pit, or even to create one, the last thing on your mind is whether or not people are booing. Like,
so you don't care?
Yeah, I don't really care.
Okay,
I mean, like, the noises that go around are secondary to being punched in the face.
All right, well, let me go down. So then the next one says, giving a thumbs down to intoxicated festival goers.
That's a do or a don't?
That's a do.
Come on! I hate this festival.
Thumbs down, buddy.
So I'm just, I mean...
You should just be enjoying the moment. Why do you need to be inebriated?
Right? Like, would you like to be blue? May I lovingly color your hair with blue? Okay. All right, let's move on to the lighter side.
Why did you bring that to make me angry going into the weekend?
No, because this is going to make you feel good. These are our people, right?
Okay.
Okay, so there's the Bearded Lady Mystic Museum in Burbank, and it's a really fun place. And what they usually do is a month-long tribute of artists they'll get, like, say, H.P. Lovecraft, and then artists will contribute artwork inspired by these artists,
nice.
Right? And they'll be on display, and, you know, if you're into the monsters and all that stuff, it's a really great place. In May, it will be about Kubrick. So they're starting things off tomorrow, and they're going to recreate the Overlook Hotel Goldrum Bar.
Oh,
I just got the chills right now.
Awesome.
Thinking about Lloyd creepily serving a whiskey to me. So it's going to be like tomorrow and then the next couple Saturdays. It's a $75 ticket, which includes food and cocktails like within this package. And so it's the Red Rum Speakeasy that's going down. And actors and actresses are going to be playing, you know.
The twins.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope it's like two really big bearded guys being the twins.
Has to be. Has to
Come play with us.
Just on bikes. Like little trikes.
Well, there are a ton of people who are hardcore fanatical about Stephen King and particularly about that movie. So
yeah.
I bet a lot of people want to show up for this.
I actually stayed at the hotel in Estes that Stephen King wrote, like was inspired mm-hmm. by and wrote the film. It's a great hotel, and I found out in my research that it was basically snowed in. He had writer's block, and he couldn't think of anything. And he spent hours upon hours at the bar talking to the bartender. And this is where the story came
from. Wow.
So as I sat there at the lit bar in Estes, I was freaking out the entire time.
Yeah.
It was great.
Did you axe down a bathroom door while there was a screaming lady on the other
totally
side?
I totally did. But no. So that's what's happening, you guys.
I love that. All right.
Well
Some
done,
fun
Kat.
Things. Well, one fun thing this weekend. Some birthdays for you. Actress Brittany Snow and actor Oscar Isaac. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. And we all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. Listen to this, you guys. Monday, pretty good show planned for you. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We've got great news. We sent Beer Mug out with a K-Rock microphone for a new round of Cheers with Beer Mugs. We also got Ducks versus Red Wings tickets. Tickets every day next week for the Paley Fest. And Disneyland Resort packages as well. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ugh, I'm already bored.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a rigged system.
Roll another one.
Hey, at least we're alive.
Just like the other one.
It's also a sexy audience.
This one seems to be about quit.
Instant karma, mother!
And I need another hit.
You don't know how to do that, so give it up. Do what you do, whatever the fuck that is.
You not only let down yourselves and your families, you let down a nation.
Roll. Are you going to be comfortable with casual racism?
Just like the other one.
You might be a snowflake.
This one seems to be about
spent. Bitch, I don't know your life.
And I don't have another cent.
Let's hear the genius that keeps you guys locked in a solid fifth place in the ratings.
Bet you somebody gets fired over that.
Just pass it around.
You want to go to Hooters and get some soup?
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's play some basketball.
Or just pass it on down.
Great talking to you again. Great seeing you. Let me ask you, man. What have you thought of the winter? Let me take that again. How have you been following? What are your thoughts? I can't talk.
What happened? What was that all about?
I just want to have a finale. I don't want to have a big, beautiful event and then people just go, good night, see ya. I want them to be wowed.
Someone call someone.
Oh, my God. I hate it here.